This week we're in Psalm 126. When the Lord changed Zion's circumstances for the better, it was like we had been dreaming. Our mouths were suddenly filled with laughter, our tongues were filled with joyful shouts. It was even said at that time among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." Yes, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are overjoyed. Lord, change our circumstances for the better. Like dry streams in the desert waste, let those who plant with tears reap the harvest with joyful shouts. Let those who go out crying and carrying their seed come home with joyful shouts, carrying bales of grain. This is our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. There's a band that I really like named Sleeping at Last, and one of my favorite songs by this band is a song called Uneven Odds. It's a song that tells the story of a child who loses both parents at a very young age, and the story is told from the perspective of the child's guardian. The guardian describes their role as helping the child to make sense of God's love in the fires of hell. Which is kind of what we do in Lent. We try to make sense of God's love in the wilderness. We try to make sense of God's love in the darkness. We try to make sense of God's love in the very fires of hell. We might even venture to say that this isn't even limited to Lent, that this is what we've been trying to do for the past 2 years. In the midst of all of the uncertainty and the loss and despair and confusion from our world, not just from a pandemic, but from everything else that has gone on, from wars and from unjust laws and from people being persecuted and hurt, we've been trying to make sense of God's love and promise and mission and purpose in the midst of all of that. Maybe right now you're personally in a season that feels like a dead end. It feels like you've hit rock bottom. It feels like there's no way out and you're hopeless and helpless and overwhelmed. In light of whatever circumstance you might find yourself in, you might be a little offended by Psalm 126. The lectionary might irritate us a little bit this week, might get on your nerves a little bit this week. Because this psalm has the audacity to tell us that God changes circumstances for the better. But look around, for at least the past 2 years, we've felt as if we're living in the very fires of hell. And we're really supposed to believe that God changes circumstances for the better? That God cares? That God is at work? We're really supposed to believe that we can make sense of God's love in the fires of hell? Maybe we can't make sense of God's love here. Maybe you believe God won't change your circumstance for the better, that God is fully capable of changing your circumstances and changing the world, but for whatever reason, God just won't do it. Maybe God is too busy with other things, or God doesn't think your circumstance is the biggest priority. Maybe others just have it worse than you, so God would really rather spend God's time elsewhere. If God won't do anything about our circumstances, then it doesn't make sense to say God's love comes into play here. Maybe you believe God can't change your circumstances, that the reason the circumstance has not changed for the better is because God is not even capable of doing anything. God can't do it, and if God can't do it, then there is no way to make sense of God's love here. Or maybe you believe that God can change your circumstance, God just doesn't want to. Maybe your circumstance is the result of something that you've done to annoy God. You disobeyed God, or you think you've sinned, or you just haven't been a good enough Christian, and so God doesn't want to change your circumstance for the better. And if God doesn't want to do it, then it doesn't make any sense to talk about God's love. Whatever it is that we believe about why God has not changed our circumstances for the better, whether it's God won't or God can't or God doesn't or whatever, whatever it is that you believe, Psalm 126 only seems to add insult to injury. Because how can we pray these words? How can we believe that we who plant with tears of sorrow will reap with joyful shouts? How can we stand to read about God changing Zion's circumstances for the better when it feels like God is ignoring ours? These are hard questions. They come from a place of deep pain, a place of despair, a place of doubt and anger and fear and uncertainty and grief. And they're all valid questions to ask. And it's okay to be annoyed with Psalm 126. But Psalm 126 is still good news. The song that I mentioned earlier, the song Uneven Odds, it's a beautiful song. It tells a beautiful story. And there are a lot of powerful lines in this song. One of those lines is, "No one expects you to understand, just to live whatever life your broken heart can." We spend a lot of time trying to make sense of God's love in the fires of hell. But we haven't failed if we cannot make sense of it. We haven't failed if we don't have the answers to these difficult questions. We haven't failed if we find ourselves asking these questions over and over. Especially in the season of Lent, we need to remember that we are a people who look to the cross, which is completely irrational. It is utter foolishness. It is foolish to find hope in the cross. It doesn't make any sense. Because to anyone else, there is no hope to be found there. And yet, especially during this season, we look to the cross and say, "This is our hope." As people who find hope in the cross, we dare to proclaim that the impossible is possible. Even though we have no idea how that works, we have no idea how it is true. As people who find hope in the cross, we're able to come into the valley of dry bones and look at the bones and say, "Because of God, these bones can live." In spite of all odds, in spite of the hopelessness of the circumstance, these bones can live because God makes it possible. We don't have to make sense of it. We just need to know that this is where we find our hope, in the God who makes it possible, in the God who doesn't need things to make sense in order to be at work. God doesn't expect us to understand it all. God doesn't expect us to have the answers. The only expectation is that we press on, that we live whatever life our broken hearts can live. A life that we live in the shadow of the foolishness of the cross. And all the while, even when we don't believe it, even when we cannot make sense of it, God is at work. God is making all things new and bringing all things together in Christ, doing a new thing that is sprouting up even now, breathing life into the valley of dry bones. Even now, God is working toward resurrection. God is bringing creation toward its fulfillment in new creation. God is working on the harvest so that we who plant with tears of sorrow can reap with joyful shouts. That song that I keep bringing up, it's a good song. Go look it up. I'll send you the link on Spotify. But it has another line that says, maybe your light is the seed and the darkness the dirt. In spite of the uneven odds, hey, it's almost like that's the name of the song or something. In spite of the uneven odds, beauty lifts from the earth. In spite of how things look. In spite of how hopeless it may seem, in spite of the uneven odds, the odds that darkness will win and our circumstances will overcome us, beauty lifts from the earth. This beauty is new creation. It's the new age. It's the resurrection and the renewal of all things. And we don't see it yet because right now it's a seed that's been planted. It's buried in the earth. But the beauty will lift from the earth. Even now, God is doing a new thing. Even now, God is at work. Even in the fires of hell, God's love is at work. And we may not be able to make sense of it, and that's okay. So you might be irritated with Psalm 126. You might not be able to make sense of it, and that's okay. You're invited to live in the tension that this psalm offers us today. It doesn't have to make sense. God doesn't expect you to understand. God expects you to live in that tension in whatever way that you can. Even if you don't believe God's promise, even if you doubt that God is actually at work, even if you doubt that God cares, or you doubt God's willingness to do it, you doubt God's desire to do it, you doubt God's ability to do it. God is thick-skinned, and God can take it. God can take your anger and your frustration and your doubt and your grief. God can take your tears and your curses. God doesn't think less of you for being angry with God. God's ego is not shallow. And God doesn't need us to believe certain things in order for God to be at work. God doesn't punish us for expressing doubt. Your circumstance, whatever it is not a punishment for not believing the right things or for being angry with God. Your circumstance just is. It exists. And all the while, God suffers with you. And all the while, God sees you. And God still deeply, deeply loves you, even if you don't believe it. God is thick-skinned, and God can take whatever it is that you are feeling. You're allowed to feel those feels and live in that tension. And Psalm 126 is good news because it calls us to life. It calls us to an abundant life, to new life. It calls us to a radical hope, a hope that seems foolish in the face of reality. This is the hope that allows us to look at the dry bones and proclaim that they can live. It's the same hope that emboldens us to say God will change our circumstances for the better. And the call to new life that this psalm invites us to is to make this our prayer. Our prayer is that God will somehow change our circumstances for the better. Our prayer is that even if better is not what we had imagined, God will still change our circumstances for the better, and we will be at peace with whatever better looks like. Our prayer is that we who plant with tears of sorrow will reap with joyful shouts. Our prayer is that others will say the Lord has done great things for them, and we will know that it is true, and we will be overjoyed. Our prayer is that in spite of the uneven odds, beauty will lift from the earth. Scottsdale, this is our prayer. May God hear our prayer. And another call to new life that this psalm gives us is to invite us to practice lament. It invites us to pray that God will change our circumstances for the better, but it also invites us in the meantime to lament the fact that our circumstances are not better yet. It invites us to live in the tension between God's fulfilled promises and our present reality. And it invites us to give voice to those feelings of doubt and despair and fear and grief and anger. Because God can take all of those things. Prayer and lament, those are the calls to new life that we have here. And they're appropriate practices for us to engage in, especially during Lent. So pray. And lament, and cry, and shout, and curse, and feel all of your feelings. And know all the while that the God who sees you and hears you is the God who makes all things new. God of life, even now you are working toward making all things new. You're working toward resurrection and the renewal of all things. You're working toward bringing creation to its fulfillment. But it's been a long season of despair and loss and hopelessness and death. We're tired and weary and full of doubt and anger and disappointment. And you invite us to voice these things. You invite us to lament. You invite us to express our doubt that you'll even do the things that you've promised to do. You're not offended by our questions or our accusations that you won't help us or can't help us or don't want to help us. And all the while, as we wrestle with these feelings, somehow in the midst of it all, you are at work. So may the words of this psalm become our prayer, even when we don't believe them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.